focusing on the issues that face seniors and their families. Welcome to Today's Kapuna. Now, here's your host, Percy Ihara.
Aloha, and welcome to Today's Kapuna. I am Percy Ihara, your host. We're here each Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. on AMKHVH Radio. And we're here to provide really good information about aging issues in Hawaii. You know, as you live longer, you're going to need to have more challenges. You're going to have more issues to face, not only by yourself, but also with your family. And today, we're going to discuss about you and your family. And my guest today is Ms. Sandy Yurong. If you read the Midweek, Sandy, about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, there was an article about yourself. Yeah. And the reason why we have on her today, because she wrote a book called The Lifetime Medical Organizer. And, you know, I get calls, I get emails from people about wanting to come on the show. As some of you may or may not know, Today's Kupuna is also a television show. And it's on every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Olelo's Channel 52. And so we talk about aging issues. Just so you can see our faces here today. We're radio. Basically, you can hear on a radio. And I get calls and emails from people that want to come on the show to pitch things. And the show is not about pitching products. The show is about providing reliable information and to be a resource for our seniors and our families in Hawaii. And so I was reading an article, and actually it's so funny, Sandy. You had emailed me, would you like me to come on the show, talk about your book?
Right.
And that just happened. I'm reading Midweek going, hey, that's the girl. And so I was reading her story, and I want you to tell your story, but very interesting. Sandy is a financial advisor, works with seniors and families like myself, and she experienced something personal to herself, and that's why she wrote the book. So, Sandy Yurong, why don't you go ahead and kind of tell our story a little bit and how this book came about.
Okay. I wrote the book because I experienced, my family experienced a medical crisis when my father was diagnosed with cancer. And I actually did an organizer for my family to help us manage all the medical information that we were constantly dialoguing about between doctors and hospital staff, family members. And I needed a communication tool to gather all of this information so that it would remain consistent between everybody that was coming. Now, everybody knows in Hawaii we come from big families, and we have aunties and uncles, cousins, siblings. I have siblings in the mainland. Everybody wanted to know what was going on with my dad. Of course, you get a lot of visitors in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And you have everyone coming in saying, hey, what'd the doctor say today? How's his progress and all of this? So you constantly have to repeat the information all the time. In addition to that, you have hospital staff changing with shifts, asking, how is he doing? Any changes? And you have to repeat that as well. Then my father had five doctors.
Wow.
Five doctors coming in, giving changes in his prognosis every day. You try to remember all of that every day. It gets very difficult. And if you're emotional that day, something happened and you're getting kind of emotional about it, it's really hard to remember. Or if someone calls you from the mainland and says, hey, I want an update, and you're not in the best of moods at the time he calls, you may come across with, intentions that could be misconstrued because, you're having a bad day. Also, my sister and I, we worked. So we would accompany my mom to the hospital. Say I would go in the morning, and my sister would, go in the afternoon. So if a doctor came in the morning and talked to my mom, I would write everything down. And then when my sister came, she would read it. And if another doctor came in the afternoon, she would do the same thing. So the information was consistent, and it was there for everyone to see. The nice part about it, too, is that after visiting hours were over and my mom went home, she could recap the day by looking in her organizer to see, what went on, review all the conversations that went on, all the information we gathered. And it made her feel more in control of what was going on because during the day she was distracted by a lot of things. And I didn't want her to be burdened with having to worry about, repeating things over and over again.
It was difficult enough just to deal with your father's situation, let alone have to tell everybody that came into the room or called up what was going on.
Exactly. So, I made it for my family, and it worked very well. And, I didn't think beyond that. Just, hey, this was a good tool. It was a great communication tool. Then, people were coming in, and we were showing them the organizer when they wanted information. And they, too, gave us feedback that, wow, this is a really good tool that you guys are using. It's a great resource to have, at the bedside and whatnot. So That was it.
Yeah, because if you don't, you have to write it down, otherwise you can't remember everything.
Yeah, you can't remember everything. I'm telling you, it's really hard. So my girlfriend's mom was diagnosed with dementia, and she has 8 siblings all across the country. And they were determining how were we going to take care of mom. So one of the sisters said, I'm going to be the one to take care of mom. Mm-hmm. So I told her, hey, you know what? I did this organizer. It's a really good tool. Let me make one for you and see how it works. I think it's going to be very helpful for you. So I did. A couple months later, we had lunch, and I asked her, hey, how did that organizer, you know, do for your sister? Is it working well or not? And she said, my sister said that thing was a godsend. It helped her tremendously. She said whenever she took her mom to doctor visits, she put that organizer in her purse. When she got to the hospital, she whipped it out. She gave it to the hospital staff. She said, here, everything's in here. You know, you just look at it. She said the hospital staff loved it because all the information was there. She didn't have to repeat it. When her siblings called, they went one step further. They took some of the documentation they had in the organizer, and they scanned it and emailed it to their siblings in the mainland. When the siblings came down to Hawaii to visit the mom, the sister just said, here's the organizer. Whatever you want to know, it's in here.
So, but the organizer wasn't actually a book by then. It was like something you put together.
Yes, it was just something I put together, and I was doing it for friends. And then my co-author and friend, Richard Shuttler, who's the co-author of the book, he co-authored books before. And he said, you know, I think you got something good here that could help a lot of people. And you ever considered, you know, putting together a how-to book to help people develop one of these? Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to begin. And at first I thought, no, I just did it for my family and friends, you know. After a couple months, he brought it up again. By then I started to think about it because I was getting really good positive feedback. Mm. And some of the other feedback I was receiving was, wow, I never knew to start organizing. You know, it never dawned on me to organize this information. And they all started to see the value of it. So then I said, hey, maybe, you know, there's a lot more people out there that could benefit from something like this. And mm-hmm. if I could help people, then that was the intent. That was the goal of writing the book.
Well, helping people, I mean, I've experienced situations with my family, clients of mine, that it's hard to put a dollar value on to be organized, to mm-hmm. have information. And so I was reading a book actually this morning about how, you know, your father gets sick, or, you know, your mom, the ambulance picks her up, and then you need information. You scramble back up to the house, and like, where is the phone number? And what's the other doctor's number? And where does he work at? And, you know, yeah. What's the medications? You know, you scramble looking for this kind of stuff, or where's that power of attorney? That, you know, in a very stressful time, you know?
Yes, and, you know, in the book, I shared some real stories of mm-hmm. friends that have experienced medical crisis, and they didn't have an organizer, and they shared with me how, you know, the organizer would have benefited them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's a nurse, a retired nurse, and she said, you'd be surprised how many times families come in with their loved one, and they don't know anything. I spoke to someone with the city and county of Honolulu Emergency Medical Services team, and they were very nice sharing statistics with me. And they said last year, 2007, on the island of Oahu alone, this is not including the neighbor islands, the Emergency Medical Services team responded to 77,000 calls. And at first I said, oh, no, you must be kidding. You must mean 7,700 calls. And they said, no, 77,000 calls. And out of those 77,000 calls, they transported 44,000 people to the hospital. They said, how many times do they respond to a call? The family members have no idea, you know, what medications their loved one was taking, what allergies they have to the medications, who their doctors are. And this person was sharing with me that if everybody had some type of organizer, it would help them tremendously to, you know, respond to the patient right away.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, unless you die of a heart attack or aneurysm immediately, you're going to need some form of organization. You're going to need some form of information that's going to have to pass on to your doctor. Like you said, your father had 5 doctors, your brothers and sisters, the nurses, you know. And some of that, like I said, it's just people need to be prepared.
People need to be prepared, and they don't prepare, you know, because they wait till the last minute. Because no one wants to confront it. And no one anticipates it, so they wait till the last minute, and then they're going through a crisis, and they determine, oh, wow, you know, I was unprepared.
Well, Sandy, that's why we do the show. We provide information to the seniors, our kupuna, and also to the families of the kupuna, their children, like myself. I'm going to buy one for my parents. My parents, if they're listening, you better spend an hour trying to fill this thing out. But anyway, this is Percy Ihara with today's kupuna. This is a live call-in show, so if you have any questions for Sandy about the Lifetime Medical Organizer, on Oahu, it's 521-8383. And on the authorized, we're statewide, is toll-free. It's 1-888-565-8383. And we will be right back after this message.
This Saturday and every Saturday, join host Percy Ihara, a senior advocate who has over 17 years of experience as a mortgage professional, with Today's Kupuna, a weekly series focusing on important issues facing seniors and their families. Get involved. Share your thoughts. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands at 1-888-565-8383. It's Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH. Don't miss it.
Check out Today's Kupuna on television every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Olelo's Channel 52. Just like Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH, Percy Ihara will have interviews with guests in your community to discuss very important issues facing our kupuna and their families. So hey, tell your friends and neighbors and spread the word. Today's Kupuna on Olelo Channel 52 and News Radio 830 KHVH. And check out KHVH830AM.com.
Hey, you with the rumbling tummy. What's for dinner tonight? My name's Sat, short for saturated fat. And I love it when you eat the foods I'm in, like cheeseburgers and pizza.
Move over, brother. I'm trans, the bad fat you've seen on the news. Might I tempt you with some crispy fried chicken and fluffy biscuits?
Come on, get into your cravings.
We can't wait to raise your bad cholesterol.
And clog up your arteries.
The bad fats, brothers. Don't let them break your heart. Learn more at AmericanHeart.org/facethefats.
Aloha, this is Brian Schatz, Executive Director of Helping Hands Hawaii, one of Oahu's largest social service agencies. We help hundreds of moms every month with diapers, beds, bus passes, desks, chairs, and whatever they need to keep their families together and their lives in order. We need your help. Please call the Helping Hands Community Clearinghouse if you have a household item to give away. We'll even come to pick it up. Call us at 536-7234 or visit HelpingHandsHawaii.org. Thanks.
Now back to Today's Kupuna with Percy Ihara. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands, 888-565-8383.
Back, we're here with Sandy Yurong, who wrote the book, Lifetime Medical Organizer. And Sandy, for the people out there, you told some stories earlier in the first portion about how you dealt this crisis with your family with regard to your father, how it helped your mother, your sister, and I guess you have siblings on the mainland.
Yes.
And what I like about it is it's pretty thorough. For people out there, there are a couple other books on the marketplace, but it can be very technical. This is very basic, and you have a portion where it explains every form.
Right.
And there are 14 forms, and you may not need all of them, but I look at them, all of them, and I work with seniors every day. All of them are very, very important. So this segment, let's try and talk about the forms, why would they need the book, and what's in the book.
Okay. Each form comes with a narrative page, and the narrative page is like instructions. And I think that's the value piece, and that's what, because a lot of people came back and said that's the value piece to go along with the form. I liken it to baking a cake. You know, if I gave you all the ingredients, but I didn't give you the recipe, you wouldn't know how to begin. And I always joke personally because, you know, whenever I get flowers, I think, wow, this arrangement is so beautiful. But if you gave me all the flowers separately in the vase and everything else, I wouldn't know how to put it together. Same concept. So what I wanted to do is help people start with the essentials. Start from the basics. And then once they get used to it, because remember I said most people don't know how to begin. So I wanted to show them how to begin. I wanted to give them instructions on how to begin. And once they get familiar with it, they get more accustomed to their organizer, then they can start developing, they can start building. But I want to give them forms that I thought were essential. They were essential to my family. There are, like you said, there are products out there. And again, if you don't know where to begin, you don't want to graduate so fast if you have no idea what to do. When my father was in a hospital, I went on the internet, I went to the bookstores to see what was out there. And there's some things out there, but they appeared to me, and I'm someone that I get teased a lot because I like to organize things. But they were very comprehensive, and so it appeared very complex. Some of them were written or designed by, you know, medical people. So they gave a lot of information. And for some of it, I looked at it and said, well, this doesn't apply to my dad, and this doesn't apply to my dad. So I started to feel like I was paying for things I didn't need. Other types of things looked very comprehensive, too complex. So it kind of discouraged me from even wanting to try. Mm-hmm. So I decided to build my own. So some of the forms that I included in the book to give people an idea, something as basic as an emergency telephone directory form. You know, today with technology, people say, well, I have it on my cell phone or it's on my computer. But how often is someone going to look in your cell phone and determine that this is the person you want called first?
Well, I can tell you this. If you're listening out there and you're a senior, I can almost bet you
they don't have it on their cell phone.
They don't have it on a cell phone. Yes. If they do, they don't know what name to put it on there.
Even the address book might not be
from 1970. Not to make fun of it, but a lot of people tend to keep their phone book they've had for years because they don't want to transfer to the new phone book. I've literally seen it on cardboard. I swear to God, look at this cardboard front and back and erased and changed the address. This cardboard had stains on it. It had coffee stains. I mean, it was burnt on one edge. I mean, seniors don't tend to transfer that information to a new clean page, and sometimes you can't even read it anymore.
Exactly.
So I encourage
you've been to my mom's house.
I encourage the seniors to be organized because it's very vital information.
Yes, you know, something as simple as that. Even my friends that aren't seniors, you know, they're baby boomers, and they saw the form, and they said, you know, at first we looked at it and we said, well, we could wing it. But after they read the instructions, they realized, wow, we didn't know how valuable this form is. And let me give you an example. If you're going to gather everything in one organizer, you want to have this form in there listing all the emergency people that you want contacted if something were to happen to you. And, you know, naturally, if you have children, you're going to list your children in birth order. Most people do that. Mm-hmm. Oldest son, next child.
Yeah.
But say your oldest son lives in the mainland, or maybe all your children live here, but you would rather have your youngest child contacted first. So you don't want to put it by birth order because instinctively we're going to call the first person on the list. Or put them in birth order, but indicate next to it that, you know, priority, relationship and priority. Call this person mm-hmm, first. Mm-hmm. Call this person next. Mm-hmm. You also want to include, you know, say you have to think about if you still work. You know, is there someone at work that needs to be notified? If you, you know, are involved in volunteer things weekly, who do you want notified?
Good point.
Yeah.
A lot of people are active. And my parents, God,
yeah.
If I want to go dinner with them, I got to give them like a week notice. I called them last week for dinner last Sunday and said, oh, we're kind of tied up for the next 4 weeks on a Sunday.
Yes.
Say, wow, you're busy.
Yes. Yeah, so my mom and her friends.
Yeah.
They're always so busy. I tease them sometimes that they have a better social life than I do because they're always so busy.
Yeah. Well, my father had a Palm Pilot before I did. So they always got to check their schedule, you know, and they have so many activities, volunteer opportunities. But, yeah, like you said, they're very active today. And even if they're not, you may know your neighbor, but you don't have your neighbor's phone number for your dad.
Exactly.
So your dad, mom might have the phone number, but I don't have my parents' phone numbers.
You know, I ask adult children all the time, if you were with your parent and your parent suddenly fell unconscious, would you know anything about their medical situation? And 100% of the time, they tell me, no, you're right. I wouldn't know anything. So, you know, we're at an age where our parents are getting older. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a time when adult children are going to get involved with their parents' health situation. We are not going to be burdened with caring for our parents in the way our parents cared for their grandparents. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many options today. There's, you know, nursing home coverage. There's nursing long-term care coverage, nursing homes, assisted living facilities. So the options are there to make it a little easier for us. In addition, like you said, I'm a financial advisor. I talk to a lot of clients in retirement, and they tell me they don't want to burden their children with what they went through. Still, adult children are still going to confront some level of medical assistance with their parents.
Well, take it to the doctors.
Yes.
Picking up the prescription drugs.
Yep.
Maybe they help out a neighbor, wash the clothes, clean the house.
There's 13 billion adult children out there that are involved in some level of care with their parents. I spoke to a person that is the primary child that looks after her mom's medical information. Well, one day she couldn't take off from work to take her mom to the doctor, so her sister from Maui flew down. And she just took for granted that her sister knew everything about her mom's situation the way she did. They never really communicated everything. And when the sister took the mom to the doctor, she couldn't answer some of the questions. And her mom had a procedure done that her sister didn't know about. So when she was being tended to by the dentist, it was inflicting pain. And the sister didn't know why. The mom kept saying it was painful. So this person told me, you know, I'm going to create an organizer now, because when I can't accompany my mom to the doctor, I'm going to give this binder to my sister so she knows. And it'll just help us, because I took for granted, we both took for granted, we knew the same level of information.
Well, sometimes your parents can't tell you the information. If they have dementia, or if they have a stroke or something, they can't give you the information of who to call.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know.
That's a good point, because senior parents have to think about, if they became unconscious, this organizer is going to speak for them. This is going to be their voice. So they need to think about, what is it that they want to put in their organizer for emergency personnel or family members to access easily. You know, you definitely want to put in there your health care directive, a copy of it. You don't want to put the original.
If they have one.
Yes. And a living will, because they tell you in the hospital, that's two of the things they ask for all the time. Did your dad have a health care directive? He has the living will. So put a copy in your organizer, because it makes it very easy to access right away. Power of attorney is,
if they have one.
Adorable power of attorney. Excellent. Yes, if they don't have one, they need to consult an estate planning attorney like Roy Young. But they should have these documents, because they are very important if you're, you know, in an emergency situation or a crisis.
Yeah, so if you're listening and you're a carryover from Rowan's 3 o'clock show, what he's talking about is very important, and he's right. I work with clients every day. I would probably tell you at least only about 20 to 30% of my clients have a trust. I would say maybe 50% have a power of attorney, and maybe 70% have a will. But the will is only good after you're no longer around.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you passed on, the will becomes effective.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't realize that medical directive. Unless they have not been to the hospital or had any major surgery, they probably don't have a medical directive, because you need one when you have surgery.
Right. You know, and sometimes people say, well, you know, I'll do it when I'm healthy now, it's not important to me. You know, my father, because I'm my financial advisor, I made sure they had all their legal documents put mm-hmm. together, and he had a living will. And, you know, from a family perspective, it gave us peace of mind knowing that we were doing the right thing for him. You know, if someone doesn't have a living will, then the family has to determine what decisions they need to make for the dying person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of guilt that come with that. Am I making the right decision for him? Is this what he would have wanted? Then you might have siblings fighting. Well, I don't want to pull the plug. I don't think mom would want that. And the other sibling might say, well, she told me that, so that's what she wanted.
I'm the oldest in a family. I make the decisions.
Right.
Happens a lot with Oriental families.
Right.
Nothing against that, but...
But you could... I've seen the best of families break up, or, you know, have a lot of conflict with situations like this, because there was nothing in writing to really indicate what they wanted, if they were on their deathbed.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Sandy, I can probably tell you a good 99% of the people out there do not have anything like this. So I appreciate you coming today. We are going to come back after a short break with Sandy Yurong with the Lifetime Medical Organizer.
From the Clear Channel News Center, I'm Linda Dela Cruz. President Bush talked about the meaning of the 4th of July holiday during his weekly radio address today. On Friday, he attended a ceremony where people from other countries became U.S. citizens.
These new citizens are proof that there is no American race, just an American creed. In the United States, we believe in the rights and dignity of every person.
About 50,000 people protested in Seoul, South Korea today against a U.S. beef import deal and policies of the country's new president. Polls show that most South Koreans oppose the deal the president struck in April to open the market to U.S. beef. But about two-thirds of the respondents say it's also time to stop their rallies that have grown more violent in recent weeks. Here at home, a driver is in critical condition after he crashed into a utility pole near the S-curve on Kaukuhuna Road near Wahiwa at 3 this morning. Clear Channel's Gina Garcia has details.
City EMS spokesman Brian Chetwick said the driver was initially in serious condition, but his condition worsened to critical as he was taken to the hospital. Kaukuhuna Road was closed for about an hour and a half while fallen utility lines were repaired.
A 27-year-old man has been charged in connection with Monday night stabbing in Kaimuki. Police yesterday charged Jonathan Dale with second-degree assault and first-degree terroristic threatening. He is being held in lieu of $30,000 bail. He is accused of stabbing a man multiple times outside a convenience store on Wailai Avenue. Police arrested him Wednesday at his home. In island weather, it's partly sunny with scattered showers, the overnight low reaching 74 degrees. Winds are easterly at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow it's going to be sunny with scattered showers. I'm Linda Dela Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center.
Focusing on the issues that face seniors and their families. Welcome to Today's Kapuna. Now, here's your host, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Lifetime Medical Organizer, and I'm talking here with Sandy Yerong. Actually, the book, Sandy, just came out available at the bookstores in June,
right. It was launched in June, and it's available online, on the Internet, or you can go to any bookstore, Borders or Barnes & Noble, anyone on the island, and you can purchase the book.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to have a book signing at Borders Waikele
next Saturday
at noon, having another book signing at Borders Pro Ridge on July 26th.
Right. I actually went to your website. I tried to do research on my guests, and then you're going to have a book signing the following week as well. Is that right?
The 12th and the 26th, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to see Sandy live, and actually I like the story, Sandy. And actually this crisis with your family actually happened last year.
It happened last year, that's correct.
Oh, it's pretty recent.
Yes.
And you wrote a book pretty fast.
Yes. Well, you know, I said, if I'm going to write it, I have to write it now while it's fresh.
Right.
Fresh in my head, because if I wait too long, I'm going to miss what I think would be some of the important details that people need to know.
Yeah. Now, working with seniors every day, like what both of us do, I think if you're listening out there, you not only want to do it for yourself, but you want to do it for your children. Because I talk about this aging issue all the time, and when you go to the hospital, they're going to ask you who's your medical with. The second question is going to be, who do we call?
That's correct.
Your wife, your son, your daughter, who do we call? And within that instant of that phone call, you and your children will have no choice, but they have to be some form of caregiver.
Yes. And some spouses, you know, there's two spouses still living. So one goes in the hospital, they automatically, you know, refer to the other spouse. But the other spouse might say, oh, you know, ask my daughter or ask my son, because I don't know. I had this lady come to my book signing at Barnes & Noble, and she said she was going to create an organizer. She wanted to buy the book because she wanted to get started, because her husband keeps telling her he's going to die first. And
yeah.
She said, you just never know. She said, I may go first, and if I do, my husband and my children will not know a thing about me, so I have to get this going, because you just never know who's going to die first.
Well, I like your comment in there, and I hear this all the time. I'd say 90% of the time when I talk to families, I hope so. I hope my kids will be there for them. I hope they're going to take care of me. I hope I die first. I hope I die quick. Hope is not enough to deal with a family emergency, and it's very stressful, and you don't want any regret. I tell my clients all the time, you don't want regret.
Right.
Well, you knew about this. You could have done it earlier. And I can't live their lives, but I'm out here trying to tell you it's important, and these are some great resources. Now, we talked about the emergency telephone directory. What other, you have a doctor directory here?
Yes. You know, while it's fresh on my head, I wanted to mention this because I think it's important. There was a study done a couple years ago surveying 1,000 senior adults and adult children to determine where were the biggest communication gaps between the two generations. And they identified that the largest communication gap between senior parents and adult children was in health issues. 61% of adult children said they talk to their parents regularly. But 32% of senior parents say they talk to their kids about health issues. And why is that? Because talking about health issues is not fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fun. Sometimes children don't want to face the fact that their parents are aging or they're getting sick and they're going to need care. So they talk to mom and dad about vacations, what the kids are going to do, the soccer tournaments, their jobs, birthday parties, all the happy fun stuff. They seldom talk about the health issues. Yet, senior parents said they would be very comfortable talking to their kids about their health issues. But obviously there's that big communication gap between that.
So I know you're doing a lot of interviews and a lot of press meetings out there, so it's good. Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, so it's important because you mentioned that, you know, senior parents should do this for their children. Well, I think adult children should participate and help their parents do this as well. So if you go to the forums, another form that's important is a doctor or directory form. Now, I wouldn't recommend you put your doctor's information on the same form as your emergency phone contact, because during an emergency, you know, emergency personnel, hospital personnel want to know who the doctors are. It's very easy to identify if it's in its own section.
Yeah.
And you want to put this what your doctor specializes in as well. You know, when my father was in the hospital, we had five doctors. At first, we couldn't get them straight. You know, Dr. So-and-so came in and said this, and Dr. So-and-so came in and said this. And I'm asking my mom, okay, is Dr. So-and-so the radiologist or the cardiologist? Which one is he? So once we had it on this form, it was very easy for us to follow.
That's why I like your form. It has a name, address of the doctor. Mm-hmm. The next column has a specialty, which you're right. You know, your specialty. And the last column is their office, fax, cell number, after hours number, right. Email number, and other.
Right.
And, and sometimes you have to change doctors.
That's correct. And if you get their business card, then, you know, the book instructs you to put those business card holders in there and
right.
stick the business card in there as well.
Right. What about the other important contacts?
Yeah, other important contact forms. Okay, life goes on. Bills have to be paid. Income streams still come in. Social Security, pension. You need to get in contact with them. So the other important contact form is just to guide the person that's going to be designated to take care of your financial situation should you become incapacitated or incompetent. It's to guide them. I have an account at Bank of Hawaii. It's a checking account, and here's my banking officer. You don't want to put, I do not recommend that you put any personal information, account information on there, passwords, usernames, or anything like that because of identity theft problems.
Social Security numbers.
Right, but you want to put enough information there to guide your loved one so they can go, say, to the bank and say, hey, my mom indicated here that she has an account here. Here's the power of attorney. I need to access this account. Yeah, to guide them to know, do they need to call the insurance people? Do they need to call the bank? Do they need to call their financial advisor, their attorney? Very easy to reference.
Yeah.
One of the most important forms is your medicine prescription record form. That's where you're going to indicate the prescriptions you're on.
That's a big one.
Yeah, the dosage, the frequency, and the purpose for why you're taking it. That's a very important. A friend of mine said when he started to look after his parents' medication information, between two of them, they were taking 25 medications.
Wow.
And he showed it to one doctor, and this one doctor didn't even know that
they're taking all these other
ones.
And
one of the things I experienced doing this is that the pharmacist can do an analysis for you.
Hmm.
So I went to the pharmacist, and I said, hey, can you take a look at all my dad's medications together and let me know if there's any side effects or counter reactions between all of them together.
Hmm.
And luckily for my dad, there were none. But, you know, the pharmacist was very nice. He explained everything to me. He shared with me what each medication was for and that they didn't react. Okay, but most people don't know that their pharmacist can do that.
Yeah. Would a doctor do it for them?
No.
If they knew what the other prescriptions were?
I'm not sure. I mean, perhaps some will, but I was told that most of the time the pharmacist are trained.
Are easier anyway.
Yeah, to do that. Especially if you get all your medications from one doctor. I mean, one pharmacy. So, and I also recommend that, you know, the printout that comes with your medicine,
uh-huh.
to stick that in your organizer as well in this section, because if you're, you know, you notice there's any side effects, you can quickly reference it, because
right,
that printout
right.
has all the information on what the medication is. So again, it's another supporting document to go mm-hmm. with this form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to change, mm-hmm. and you know, you might have to handle this situation for your parents for a few years.
Right.
Plus, sometimes your siblings may handle the health issues, and one family member may do the financial.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's very important. Good. I like that one.
Yeah. Another one is a family medical history form. List down, you know, how many times does anyone know their family medical history right off the bat? If I go to the doctor, I'm staring at the ceiling thinking, oh, yeah, I had an aunt that died from this, and I had an uncle who died from this. But, you know, I'm trying to recall it from memory. So if you put it down on a family medical history form, that's important, because when you're dialoguing with your doctor, you can share with them. You'll have it all in one place. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, if your loved one died of, say, cancer, but they also had high blood pressure and diabetes, you want to indicate that too, because, you know, that would show some kind of trend of perhaps a health issue coming up mm-hmm. that is not detected yet. So you want to have all that information on your family medical history form.
Oh, good. And next one is the next appointment record, which is probably, if you have five doctors, boy, that's a lot of appointment keeping records you're going to need to have.
Yeah. You know, my own doctor said he wished more of his patients would come in with an organizer because it's more proactive than reactive. And doctors, you know, he said he would love to have that. You don't have to wait, I mean, until you have a medical crisis to occur before you start documenting all of this. If you mm-hmm. go to a routine doctor's appointment, you don't have to be comprehensive in summarizing what kind of dialogue you have with your doctor. You could just jot down notes, but it'll help, you know, for future reference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, there's no right or wrong answer. It's really what you feel is enough information to help your loved ones. Remember, I said it's going to represent you if something were to happen to you. So you have to think about what information you want to provide in there if you can't speak for yourself.
Well, what I like about this section of the book, that's on page 50, it says the date, the day, the time, name of doctor, and reason for visit. You may list a doctor's name, but, you know, if I was a son taking my dad or mom to a doctor, I'd know his name, but I really wouldn't know what he does.
The purpose of the visit.
Yeah.
You know, this appointment record, you know, like my mom, she has a calendar, and on her calendar she will indicate her appointments. But she also uses her calendar for birthday parties and social
mm-hmm,
functions.
Sure. They keep it separate.
So, right. So if I ever wanted to know how often she met with this one doctor, I would have to go back through all the months. This way, if you indicate it here, you know, it's a very quick summary of all the doctors and how often you visit them, or when was the last time you saw them, without having to go back.
Mm-hmm. The last one in Chapter 11, well, not the last one, but this what, 14 form.
Appointment notes form.
Chapter 11 talks about appointment notes form, and that's really, I mean, this is a really good one as well.
This is an excellent one. We used this form when the doctors came in to discuss prognosis about my dad. We would jot it down. We would summarize it. If I was with my mom, I wrote everything down. My sister was there. She wrote everything down. If we weren't there, my mom had a friend help her write it down. Now, I have a lady friend who's in her 80s, and she's in the hospital, and she's currently, you know, she just got out of ICU, and she doesn't have family here to help her, so a lot of her friends have been supporting her, going to the hospital daily and helping her. So I created an organizer for her, and one of my friends told me the other day that it's been working very well, and they love it, and each time a doctor comes in, they've been writing the appointment notes, they've been writing a summary of what was discussed on this form, and everyone who comes now, because they're taking turns and shifts, they're updating the organizer, and it's been working very well, and it's been helping them, and they feel really comfortable that they don't have to memorize anything or have to repeat things over and over, because by the time the fifth person gets the information, you know how that goes. It's totally different from what actually occurred. The communication breaks down.
So in terms of the book itself, either the senior kapuna buys the book or the children buy the book. I'm going to buy some for my clients, as I told you earlier. I think sometimes we may get to buy it for our aunties and uncles as well.
You can buy it as a gift. I've had some people buy it as gifts. I've had financial advisors say they're going to buy it as client gifts. I've even had a human service organization buy it for their clients that their clients that do that they have exercise programs for, and they were going to give it out to them to help them get started. So, you know, even in my industry, financial advisors, it makes a good client gift.
And you said one company bought
a thousand books.
Thousand books to get their employees?
Yeah, not the employees, but their clients.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. So what other kind of feedback have you had from readers or people at your book signings or your friends tell you about the book?
You know, I speak to a lot of adult children, and the common feedback that they gave me was that they need it now, and they never thought to organize any of this information. It's amazing. There's so many people out there that have experienced a crisis. And, you know, someone told me the other day, where were you last year when my father was in the hospital? And I just spoke to someone on the TV that said she's going through it now with her parents, and she's been in more ambulance rides than she needs to or wants to, and she needs to somehow organize all of their information because she's the one that's looking after all of this information. So that's the theme that I've been hearing from a lot of people, is that they need to do it, and they never thought to start. And I've concluded it's because we wait until we're in a crisis before we think of something like this, because we wait until we actually are experiencing it. And then when the crisis is over, people say, it's too late. You know, maybe next time.
Well, that's why we do the show, Sandy. You know, Lifetime Medical Organizer allows you to plan ahead and prepare for such events with ease before a medical concern or crisis occurs. You know, in addition to adult children accompanying their senior parents, we'll have a constant communication tool between siblings and the doctors. And it's one of the reasons why we're here. I'm glad you came. We're going to take another quick break. After this short message, you can give us a call, 521-8383 on Oahu, toll-free from the outer islands, 1-888-565-8383.
Hey, you with the rumbling tummy. What's for dinner tonight? My name's Sat, short for saturated fat. And I love it when you eat the foods I'm in, like cheeseburgers and pizza.
Move over, brother. I'm trans, the bad fat you've seen on the news. Might I tempt you with some crispy fried chicken and fluffy biscuits?
Come on, get into your cravings.
We can't wait to raise your bad cholesterol.
And clog up your arteries.
The Bad Fats Brothers. Don't let them break your heart. Learn more at AmericanHeart.org/facethefats.
Aloha, this is Brian Schatz, Executive Director of Helping Hands Hawaii, one of Oahu's largest social service agencies. We help hundreds of moms every month with diapers, beds, bus passes, desks, chairs, and whatever they need to keep their families together and their lives in order. We need your help. Please call the Helping Hands Community Clearinghouse if you have a household item to give away. We'll even come to pick it up. Call us at 536-7234 or visit helpinghandshawaii.org. Thanks.
Now back to today's Kapuna with Percy Ihara. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the neighbor islands, 888-565-8383.
Welcome back. We're here with Sandy Yurong with the Lifetime Medical Organizer. You know, we're talking here about how do we get, Sandy, since you have some experience, how do we get our parents to talk about the medical issues? We're here talking to friends. A lot of times they don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's not important to you.
Yeah. Some families don't want to talk about it. Sometimes parents don't want to talk about it, or kids don't want to bring it up. They don't want to confront it either. And, you know, my advice to these people is there's no right or wrong answer. It's just basically what makes you feel comfortable. Now, you don't have to get your children involved with your information right away. I had a woman in her 70s tell me that she was just starting to think about how she could introduce her health issues to her kids. And we talked about the organizer and the book, and she thought it was a great idea, and she said she was going to develop her organizer because she thought it was a great way to introduce her kids to her health issues without shoving it down their throat or waiting until an urgent situation arised. I would say, you know, you can be as simple as creating it. Like I said, keep in mind this is going to speak for you. If something happens and you can't speak for yourself, you don't need to show it to anybody now if you feel uncomfortable showing it to your children, but you should have it somewhere where they can find it. And also indicate somewhere that you do have a Lifetime Medical Organizer prepared. For example, you can put a note on your refrigerator saying, in case of emergency, look for my Lifetime Medical Organizer and indicate where it is. A lot of times when emergency personnel come in, one of the places they'll look is in the refrigerator for prescriptions.
Right.
You could also put a note in your file cabinet anywhere. anywhere in your house, but make sure that, you know, if something were to happen to you, someone will be guided by your information to tell them where this organizer is. Now, you also want to keep it updated, especially the medicine prescription, because that form is not very useful if it has all old information in there.
Right. Like I said, it's not only for today and this year. You know, it may be for 3 or 5, 10 years down the road. And it's something that, you know, the kids need to bring it up. And I'm going to encourage a lot of my friends, you know, that if you have a parent that's, you know, 70s or 80s, and they're healthy today.
Right. You know, sometimes adult children will bring it up and say, hey, Mom, you know, what's going on with your medical situation? And sometimes they're not going to want to share it with them. They're going to ask you, like, why are you asking me? You know, why are you concerned? But you could just say, hey, I heard about this book. Here's the book. If you need me to help you, you know, let me know. I'll help you fill it out. Or, you know, can you fill it out just so you're helping me? You're helping your loved ones to be able to assist you in the event something happens to you. And that's the way you have to look at it. I created it for the love of my family. And you're going to do it for the love of your family. You're not going to do it, you know, because for whatever reason, you know, I have to do it. You're going to do it because you want it to speak to you, speak for you, and you're doing it to help your family, really.
Yeah, well, I always tell, when I speak around town, I say, have the talk with your children. Because unless, like I said, unless we die of a heart attack or an aneurysm really quickly, we're going to need to be some form of caregiver. And like your friend who's been in an emergency vehicle many times, we don't know if the guy asks you, oh, what medication is your mom taking?
That's right. And, you know, in an emergency situation, people don't think logically.
They panic.
They panic. They have fear. They get disoriented. You know, that doesn't mean automatically they're going to know. You know, even if you share this information with them, they might get really afraid of what is going on and they can't think clearly. So you can't assume that the person accompanying you is going to know the information, is going to manage all this information logically at the time you need it most.
Right.
So you want something, you want a resource, you want a tool that's going to speak for you, that's going to be consistent, that's going to be logical and eliminate all the emotion from it.
Well, Sandy, also with your book, you cover the last chapters 13 to 16. Chapter 13 talks about wills and trusts. It's important to have that stuff. I'm not surprised a lot of my clients don't have wills and trusts. You also talk about why it's important to have a durable power of attorney. And then you end up with advanced health care directive. Really quickly, can you tell our audience why it's important to have a health directive?
Why it's important to have a living will and a health care directive is to guide, again, like I said earlier, your family, giving them peace of mind that they're following what you wanted, your wishes. And, you know, if you don't have any of these legal documents, I really strongly encourage you to consult an estate planning attorney and to just understand why it's important for you to get one and how it's going to benefit you and your family.
Well, I know if you don't
make
have
that first step.
Right. Well, you don't want your kids to argue later on down the road.
That's correct.
The medical directives, a lot of times, I believe the hospitals have generic forms. They should have one. And I believe the state executive office and agent, or actually their website, the state of Hawaii's website, has a generic form on there.
You know, in my line of business, I've seen it all. I've seen situations break up the best of families. I've seen families break up because of money, because of health issues. And that's not the time, even though the hospital has a form, that's not the time to decide. You want to decide when everyone's calm and everyone's caring for the family member. I had a family where the mom created her trust a long time.
Yeah.
The mom created the trust a long time ago, never updated it, and designated her son in the mainland as a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But the youngest son was living with the mom and caring for her. Nobody, you know, thought to update the information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now she's determined incompetent, so the oldest son has the power of attorney. The younger son takes care of the mom, lives there, and there's a conflict between the two. There's conflict all their lives, and now it just makes it worse because they can't work together, and they have to for the benefit of the mom.
They have to, yeah. Now, Sandy, the book is just came out last month, June, and it's available at all the bookstores, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. You can get it at Borders. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can also get it online.
Online. You either go to Sandy's website.
You can go
Lifetime
to my website.
LifeMedOrganizer.com. And you can actually go to Amazon.com and all the other internet websites that sell books. And I know you're going to have some signings.
Book signings.
You want to meet Sandy?
So come on those dates, and I'll personally sign it for you.
Your website has all these interview dates coming up.
Yes, the website indicates all the media events that are coming up and the book signing, so you can have someone go on the website and see when the book signing. Again, it's on July 12th at Borders Waikele and July 26th at Borders Pearl Ridge.
Oh, good. With regards to the book, so you'll be selling books at these signings?
Yes, I will.
And you'll be able to make a note to their family?
Yep, anything they want me to sign, that's the...
You should bring your mom with you, if your mom would... she may be listening, but I would say you should bring your mom. Because
yeah,
it's so important. People don't realize... I've talked about this stuff about wills and trusts, like, you know, Rowan Young,
yes,
on a previous show, about how important it is, to have to talk about their family, about, you know, I talk about have a talk with the children, because at some point in their life, unless you die immediately, they're going to be some form of caregiver. And there's no way, nobody teaches you how to be a caregiver. I know KCC has,
I believe
Red Cross has some classes. There's a few other places that will teach you how to be a caregiver. But there's nowhere that puts it all together like your organizer.
That's correct. And it's going to give you peace of mind. Once you finish it, you're going to have peace of mind saying, okay, I feel more in control that everything's here.
Yeah. In terms of the cost, I know it
yeah, the cost at the bookstores are $21.95.
Yeah. And some websites may have a special, but if you order from the mainland,
you get shipping charges. Yes, and all
I know
that.
Sometimes they have specials, but I mean, $21.95, that's nothing when you consider about the stress it's going to involve if you don't have
it's a small cost for a lifetime of value, is what I say.
So I would probably tell you, I'd buy the book for your uncles, aunties, neighbors, church members. If you want Sandy to come and speak to your organization about the book or about the importance of the book, because we're not really, it's great to sell the book and offer it to people, but we're not here to sell the book. We're here to try to explain the importance to you that it's important to have some kind of organizer. They can buy a simple school book and write all this stuff down, yeah?
That's correct.
But it's important. Any last comments, Sandy?
Nope. Just, get started today. Don't wait. Look at it as a proactive measure to help your family. Just think of it as, creating it for the love of your family and also that it represents you in the event of an emergency or medical concern or crisis.
Well, thanks, Sandy. I did want to mention, besides our show, Channel 3, Kirk Matthews does the Elderhood Project, which is every Thursday morning around 6 o'clock, and they replay that Elderhood Project Thursday afternoons on the 5 p.m. news. Monday mornings on KGMB, they have what's called the Genius of Aging, and they also provide information about aging issues, which is really good. They use Dr. Bill Thomas. Also, there's a new magazine that's been out for a little while called The Generations. And that's at, I saw it at Long's, I saw it at Zippy's.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for their sponsorship. But you can get those, and they're free, magazines that talks about aging issues as well. I did always want to mention that the Executive Office on Aging is a great resource for our seniors and our families if you have questions and anything to do with seniors, if it's for your mom or dad. The Senior Helpline, which is 768-7700. And the Executive Office on Aging for the State of Hawaii's office, their number is 586-0100. And believe it or not, we're almost out of here. But we're here every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Next week, we'll have the city and county coming talking about caregiving issues and what's available for services for them. But Sandy, you're wrong. Thank you very much. Well, hopefully
thank
we have a lot of people
me.
At your signing next week. And hopefully we're going to be buying a lot of books over here. I'm Percy Yahara, your host. We're here each Wednesday, Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. on AM 830 KHVH. But we also have today's Kupuna, the television show, on every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Channel 52. As always, aloha and live well.